Today's Big Brother podcast is sponsored by Nature Box. Order great tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and get in shape for summer with healthy, delicious treats like Everything Bagel Sticks. Support the podcast and get 50% off your first month. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the man who picks which candy he wants to eat by pulling Skittles out of a hat, Rob Sestradino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special audio-only edition of our Big Brother recap. And let's bring in the man who is covering all of this. Had a very busy weekend and a lot to talk about here today on a Monday afternoon, right after the veto ceremony. As always, we'll be spoiler-free in the first half, so don't worry if you're just a TV watcher. I shouldn't say just a TV watcher, because you are just as good of a Big Brother fan as somebody who watches the live feeds. That's absolutely right. Right, Brian Lynch?
I hate Skittles.
You hate Skittles?
Forever.
Forever. All right, well, we have a lot to talk about here today. This, of course, the show comes to us on a Monday. I was in Dallas at the Podcast Movement Conference over the weekend. I got back into L.A. late last night. I had like a three-hour delay because of all these big storms that happened yesterday, but it was not too bad of a stay at the airport. But yada, yada, yada. Late start this morning, but we timed this out well where the veto ceremony has just happened, so we'll talk about that when we get to the live feed portion of the show. So, Brian, first off, how are you doing today on a Monday?
Oh, you know, I've got a case of the Mondays, but it's a rather small case of them, so I should be okay.
Yeah, well, it was an eventful Big Brother Sunday night, and then a lot went down on the live feed. So we actually do have a lot to talk about here on a Monday, because a lot of this stuff happened over Sunday night, and then, of course, the veto ceremony. So this is actually works out well that we have this show here on a Monday, and then we will be back to our regular schedule on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, getting back into the Big Brother. Okay, so Brian, before we get into Big Brother talk from last night, we just saw across the wire there is a, according to TMZ, a lawsuit against the creators of Big Brother.
Yes, over apparently something that has nothing to do with Big Brother 16.
Yes. Well, there is a man named Edwin Lyda who is suing Big Brother, and not for the normal reason that we might expect somebody to sue Big Brother over a person they like, got nominated, or any of the other reasons that we see people make petitions and stuff. Apparently, this man named Edwin Lyda claims he invented the system for text message voting and holds the patents to that system, according to TMZ. And he claims that CBS is using his invention and infringing on his patent and using it each week to get people to vote. So apparently, a couple people in the House aren't the only ones being screwed over by Team America, Brian.
Am I mistaken? Has there been a text message vote this year?
Well, how are people voting for Team America?
I thought that was all just done on the website.
It's not like text one to make people hide everybody's clothing, to text two to 81818. They're not doing it that way?
I mean, I didn't notice that. Maybe they are, and I've just been blind, and all my notes just like glazed my senses to that. But I've been assuming that all the votes were online.
Again, this is my favorite part, according to TMZ, that Edwin Lyda says that the system for text voting is a big part of the show. Now, I don't know how big of a part of the show it is, considering you're somebody who's watching this very closely and you don't even know if there is text messaging. But he says he wants the court to decide how much of Big Brother's millions he's entitled to get.
God, I hope he gets it.
You hope he wins?
Yeah, just like one of those obscenely huge settlements that eventually gets knocked down to nothing, like $50
billion. $50 billion. Would you testify on Edwin Lyda's behalf?
Well, I mean, if any of my feed knowledge is relevant to his case, then of course I would.
Your Honor, we would like to call Big Brother live feed expert Brian Lynch to the stand. Brian, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Of course not. I'm a Big Brother fan.
Brian, on the night of August 10th, 2014, what was transpiring on the live feeds?
Zach was being told that, we're getting into spoilers.
Yeah, don't do that.
Spoilers.
Your Honor, may I get into spoilers? Like, no. Objection, Your Honor. The jury is only a TV watcher. Okay. All right. Let's go into it. Well, you think it would be a 7-person or 9-person jury would decide this case?
Oh, yeah. So that would be... Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, well, it could start with 9-person, but then...
Would they sequester the jury in this case?
Oh, well, yeah. You know, they ask them each individual questions, and when they don't like one, they'll kick one out. But after they get 4, they'll all come back together and fight for the right to be on the real jury.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't want people also to, you know, they have to sequester the jury because they could go watch court TV and then hear what they were saying. And then that would, you know, if somebody was saying that one of the defendants was the devil, then that's why you need to sequester the jury in the Big Brother text message trial.
Well, you know, in the past, these courts have allowed the jury to watch the entire thing.
They get a DVD of the show to watch or just some of the episodes.
Yep, all of the news coverage and everything.
Okay. All right, so let's get into Sunday night's Big Brother, which featured the Battle of the Block and the big Skittle draw and ended up with Cody and Caleb going up on the block and Derek being dethroned as the HOH. So, interestingly, you know, the episode started with Frankie and Derek talking about what they wanted to do. And very quickly, you know, Derek puts his foot down and said, look, you know, Victoria, she's off the table. She's off the table this week. Brian, why does nobody ever, you know, question what Derek wants to do in this game?
Now, this you just have to look at the Derek and Frankie relationship. Like, at the very beginning, Frankie, it just seemed like, was attached to Zach. And they were going to be kind of like inseparable. But this Team America thing immediately switched Frankie's, you know, thought process. He thinks Derek is the guy that America loves, and if Zach was popular, he'd have been voted onto Team America. So Frankie says he trusts Derek 100%.
The only person that he trusts.
The only person in the house. And the only reason he does that is because he was voted onto Team America with him. And that is just more evidence that the Team America twist has really screwed up this season.
If it wasn't for Team America, would Frankie and Derek be trying to keep Donnie in the house week after week?
Rob, I don't think if it wasn't for Team America, I don't think Derek would even be in the house. Now, people will laugh at me about this, but I just don't see it. I don't see Frankie turning on Zach without having that kind of incentive.
Interesting. Yeah, it's been very curious as to why they've never gotten rid of Donnie all this time. You know, he just week after week, you know, continues to be around, and they never really seem to consider it. Like, in the beginning of the week, yeah, it's always like, let's get Donnie out. And then by the end of the week, they're never really considering voting out Donnie.
Well, Donnie has allies in production, you know? I mean, he's like the one guy in Team America that actually is popular. The other two guys, they're saddled with, and they have to give great edits to in order to keep the public happy.
We ended up with the co-HOHs for this week, Derek and Frankie having to decide what they want to do. And they very quickly just, you know, decided, you know, Victoria is not in the mix. And I was just very surprised that, you know, Frankie went along with, okay, let's tell Victoria she's safe this week. You know, just because Derek said, no, I think Victoria's had enough of being on the block.
The narrative of the house was they were going to backdoor Victoria. You know, that's what the whole thing was. Even though Derek in the diary room is saying, you know, this is not what I want. And that, Derek sets it up in the diary room, like, and you can't even take anything. I'm going to, like, throw all of Derek's diary rooms out the window. I don't believe anything he says. But he said that he didn't want to target Donnie or Victoria, but down the road there might be something, you know. So eventually he's going to be able to take credit for whatever happens.
Yeah. Okay, so they take Victoria very quickly off the table. So they have to decide who's going to go up on the block with Donnie. And I talked about this on Thursday night about the whole Frankie, you know, what are we calling the Frankie Ariana Mogulgate? What are we calling the Frankie's confession?
Vanity Gate.
Vanity Gate. It's not really a gate because it's not a controversial thing like Renom Gate that we're going to talk about. But Frankie is 100% free and clear from where he was last Friday night, right? I mean, this whole Ariana Grande confession really did exactly what he wanted it to do. Correct, Brian?
Oh, gosh. I would just have to totally disagree with that.
No.
You know, I mean,
oh.
He gained his safety, and then, like, he had safety for an entire... Look, he gained his safety on Friday. He had an entire week to save himself, but he goes off on the... you know, Ariana Grande is my sister. So he has an entire week of safety, and then he wins HOH and remains HOH. There has been no opportunity for anyone to turn against him over this.
Yeah. So you don't feel like people in the house are talking about Frankie as a target right now?
Rob, okay, yes, I do feel like that. I do feel like they are talking about him as a target right now.
Okay. All right, well, that is good, interesting to know.
Yes, and I have more to say about that in the sports.
We'll get to that. Okay, so we have to decide who is going to be up on the block with Donnie, and nobody wants to do it. And I love how Caleb is still referring to this group as the bomb squad needs to decide who's going up on the block. So how has nobody broken the news to Caleb that there's no bomb squad and hasn't been for 2 months?
Caleb was told that about the detonators, and it was all blamed on Zach. And when Zach has tried to tell him, you know, who Caleb thinks that it was, that Hayden and Nicole were in the bomb, in the detonators, and then Zach's like, no, it was Derek and Cody. And Caleb's like, well, I don't care because everything you say is a lie.
Yeah, really, Beast Mode Cowboy has done a 180 on Zach, where just like 10 days ago, he was the voice of reason for keeping Zach in the house, and now Caleb seems 100% like he hates Zach. He hates Zach more than anybody else in the house. What has been the turnaround for Caleb because of all of this?
It would be Derek's influence and Cody's influence, you know? I mean, that whole thing where Derek was this, there was this one moment. You remember when Caleb was talking about the numbers that they shown on the show when they were at the pool table? Well, during that, Derek was telling him that, telling Caleb that if Zach would have talked to his daughter like he had talked to Victoria, then he would have kicked his teeth in. Well, a couple days ago, Derek was like, "Hey, you remember when we were out by the pool table and you said you wanted to kick Zach's teeth in?"
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Derek has pretty much put it in Caleb's mind that he was the one that said he wanted to kick Zach's teeth in. Caleb is a freaking idiot, Rob. Idiot.
Yeah. He's just like the Manchurian candidate where you could sort of just like brainwash him to go in whatever direction you want him to.
He's like the slime that you can throw against the wall and it'll stick a little bit.
Oh, what is that?
I don't know. It's just something mean I thought of. It's not really.
Right, but you're so anti-Beast Mode Cowboy. We've already established he's not even the brains behind the operation. He's just a pawn.
Yeah, I agree.
He's Derek's henchman.
Rob, I have like, look, I'm taking over. I'm going to steal some of Christine's strategy right here.
You're going to flirt with me?
No, most of these people disgust me, Rob.
Oh.
They absolutely disgust me.
Yeah. Brian,
you look nice today.
I saw you tweeting, I think it was last night, that you said the friendship is back. Are you saying that you feel like this alliance with, you know, Derek and Cody and Frankie and Christine and Caleb, you feel like they are the new version of the friendship?
That got stuck in my head when people started telling me that Derek is the new Maggie.
Yeah.
I was like, my God, I see it. Because like, let's look at that like from a completely logical point of view. Maggie was badass,
yeah.
Right? And have I ever said that Derek was not badass?
I don't think anybody is disputing that. I think he is just not great TV. And I want good TV. You want good TV?
Of course we want good TV.
You like good TV?
Exactly. But I mean, the thing about it is, I want to see an amazing player that can not only win, but win with style, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's part of the good TV thing. Now, it's not just one thing, just you can just like lay waste to the entire field, you know, throw them all under the bus, make everybody think that every single one of them is mean to women or about to beat the crap out of you. And that's why you need to vote them out. You know, that's the low ball gutter game.
And that's exactly what Derek's playing. And it's not very fun to watch, and it makes everybody hate him.
Yeah. Everybody who's watching the show hate him, or the people in the house don't hate him, right?
No, the people that are watching the feeds, right? Because, like, the edit he's getting is, like, extremely nice.
Okay. All right. So we're going to have to decide who is going to go up on the block. And I felt like it was sort of in a weird spot where I felt like everybody in the room wanted Zach to go up on the block. And I felt like they were guilting him into volunteering to go up on the block. And Caleb is talking about how he went up on the block three times for his alliance, and he didn't want to go up on the block. Cody seems to get off scot-free. All he says about these things is, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, I really wouldn't want to do that. I really wouldn't want to. That would be tough for me to go throw a competition. And, you know, nobody really calls him out, but, you know, it felt like in the room, everybody wanted Zach to go up on the block. And then finally, Zach is like, okay, fine, I get it. You guys all want me to go up on the block. I'll volunteer to go up on the block. And Derek's like, no, that's not what we want. But that was what they wanted, right?
Yeah, but Derek wanted to go into the diary room and say, this is the reason we're going to target him now. It's because he refused to go on the block and throw it, which he actually volunteered, while everybody else was the ones that refused to throw it. You cannot believe Derek in the diary room.
Yeah. Okay. We don't like when people lie to us in the diary room. You got to keep it real.
Derek is nothing but, I mean, Derek is horrible in the diary room.
Yeah. Okay. So we end up deciding, you know, Zach says, well, why don't we do like a 1-2-3 shoot on trying to do it? And they say that they're going to draw Skittles out of the hat. So, Brian, what did you think of the Skittles draw when you were watching it go down?
Oh, my God. You know, I heard about it. See, I went to bed and then I got up and I had to watch it again.
That's what you get for going to bed.
I'm glad I did go to bed because it's the worst thing ever. Zach should have just like been begging to go up on the block.
Yeah, Zach was very excited to not go on the block, but when I heard that Zach did not get one of the Skittles in and was not competing in the Battle of the Block, I'm like, I don't think that's a great spot for him. I think ideally what you do want is, I feel like anybody should have been begging to go up on the block and begging to be in that group that was going to go beat Donnie, you know?
There is nobody in this game that has that kind of sense, Rob. It is Derek against a bunch of like couch cushions.
Yeah. What about Frankie? Was Frankie the second best player in the game? Who's the second best player in your mind?
Donnie. I mean, he doesn't do anything, but that's better than what most people are doing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he has an idea of what's going on. He knows who's in control of the house. Now, if he would have had, now would he know if he wasn't in the Team America? Probably not. And so his knowledge of the game is an extra benefit that the twist has given him.
So we decide that everybody has a color Skittle that they're going to do. And they put all the Skittles in there and they pull out. Christine is going to play Battle of the Block with Donnie. And then it's Caleb and Cody are going to do it. And Caleb is just besides himself that he's on the block again and Zach isn't. And that seems to really annoy him.
Yeah, part of this, the Skittle color thing, like afterwards, see, Donnie found, he kind of understands what happened. And they probably go over this in the next episode, actually, so I probably don't want to get into it.
Okay, so we end up having, this is what our Battle of the Block group is going to be. Now, how did they decide who was going to throw, like, who was going to nominate who? Was it that Derek wanted to remain HOH? Did Frankie volunteer that he would have been fine to come down as HOH so he could play next week?
Derek wanted to remain HOH.
Yeah.
So Frankie was going to nominate Donnie and the first person drawn by Skittle, which ended up being Christine. And Christine, everyone agreed to throw it before the draw, so Christine was obligated to throw it.
How much does Derek trust Frankie? Was that part of his reasoning? I mean, he tells Frankie in the Hive room how he trusts Frankie, and he says, I would never backdoor you, and I promise you that. And we have a bond because we both, our grandfathers, both died. But hasn't at times Derek talked about potentially targeting Frankie?
Yes, Rob, he's straight up lying and using the death of his family and the death of Frankie's family as a game thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, we don't like that.
Well, I mean, it's like the gutter game that we were talking about. I mean, that's where Derek takes it every single time.
Yeah. But how does he get out of that? Like, let's say hypothetically that Frankie did come down and he decides that he did want to backdoor Frankie this week. And he said that, you know, I swear to you on our dead grandfathers and that's we have a bond. You know, how would he get around that?
Well, in that scenario, Zach would still have been able for backdoor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know that he would elevate Frankie above Zach.
And then we had Frankie and Derek breaking the news to Donnie about what they did. And I thought that Donnie was very perceptive in this moment when he was talking about how Frankie and Derek always use the word we. Well, who is we? I thought we were Team America.
Yeah, what they're not talking about is the Skittle colors. Donnie had really interrogated Cody and Derek about what color his Skittle was because, of course, they told him that everybody had a color and they were drawing, right? See, what they were doing, they were lying to Donnie because they didn't draw for Donnie. Donnie was an automatic.
Yes.
And Frankie lied about this in the DR. He said in the DR, my nominations were completely chosen by random draw. Donnie didn't have a Skittle, did he? Donnie was going to be nominated regardless.
Yes.
So they're allowing Frankie to lie in the diary room now.
Yeah, because how many different colors of Skittles? Here's what Donnie should have known. There are only 5 different colors of Skittles. So if there were 4 people plus Donnie and Victoria, there's no way that they could have put all the Skittles in the house.
Exactly. And that may have been exactly what Donnie was thinking when he started drilling him on it. Derek told him that his color was orange or red, and then Cody told him it was the opposite color of that. Donnie knew immediately.
I eat a lot of candy, and I know that there are only 5 colors of Skittles, but there were 6 people in the house that could go up on the block. So I might say that I think Derek is not being totally honest with me. So, yes, green, yellow, purple, orange, red are the 5 colors of Skittles.
Yeah, so I think
taste the rainbow, Donnie.
Zach's was orange, I believe.
Yes.
And they were told, Cody told him that his color was orange, and Derek had told him it was red.
Okay. So, yeah, Donnie sees through the Skittle draw.
Yeah, I mean,
the man eats Pop-Tarts for breakfast. He knows what color Skittles are. He knows there's only 5 colors.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do anything else all day. I mean, counting Skittles colors, probably like one of his pastimes.
Maybe if they had M&Ms. How many different color M&Ms are there?
Well, I mean, there's not like 8.
Yeah, I feel like there's more colors of M&Ms than Skittles.
There's like 5 or 6.
Yeah. Well, they started adding, they added the blue one in there. How many color M&Ms are there? Let me see.
Well, there's red. They added red back too. So
red is back. That I thought that was giving people cancer. Red M&Ms.
Well, that was red dye number 5, I believe.
Yeah, and then the green M&Ms. They say that makes you very like how Christine and Cody are together.
Really?
Yes. Okay, so I think they're okay. So M&Ms are brown, yellow, red, orange, green, and blue. Had they had M&Ms, that would have worked perfect.
Oh yeah, for 6.
Yes. If they told me in the house that they had M&Ms and not Skittles, then I would believe Derek. But I believe he is lying to me.
They melt on the block, not in your hand.
Okay, so. Team America mission. Let's talk about this. And Team America rears its ugly head once again. Plenty more about this when we get to the spoiler stuff. But we just find out about what they have to do. They have to take something of each person and hide it. And then they have to start a neighborhood watch. What was the other option? What was plan B that we could have voted for?
Oh, God. I don't even remember.
Probably wouldn't have been as bad as this. Okay, but Derek is excited because finally we can do something that is a fun task and it's going to be fun. And Derek is very excited about this.
Fun.
Oh,
and plus they'll be able to bend the rules and get the money without ever having really do anything other than step
on. All right, so we got a little bit of Team America. I said on Thursday night, I wondered, Are we headed towards the Christine and Cody flirtmance becoming a storyline on the show? Ian Terry said no. He did not think that we were going in that direction. But boy, we got another big package about Cody and Christine flirtmance, and we will talk more about this as it pertains to the Zingbot in our spoiler section, and something I was wrong about. But Brian, boy, the production is steering into the curve on Cody and Christine flirtmance.
Yeah, you had talked about this with Ian during the non-spoiler section, and by that time, it had already been brought up in the house. Caleb and Zach, mostly Caleb, was ragging Cody about it really, really hard, and Cody kind of got mad about it. We saw, and now, of course, everybody's blaming it on Zach.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because he brought it up, and he's the one talking about it, but it was really Caleb that was the one ragging Cody about it. But, yeah, so that's just everything's getting blamed on Zach.
Boy, if Zach ever goes home, who will all the people in the house blame their problems on?
Zach. They won't stop, Rob. I mean, this is like it's something that happens not like every single year. I mean, well, it happened last year too with Alyssa leaving to a certain extent. But Frank bashing was awful. But this has like the potential to be like even bigger.
I want to talk about briefly about something that I'm seeing happening a lot on social media that I really don't care for. I see, you know, and again, I don't follow everything on Twitter, but I see a lot of people talking about, oh, Christine is so ugly. I see this being tweeted by a lot of people. I shouldn't say I see it being tweeted a lot by certain people. And this really makes me upset. I don't really understand what Christine's looks have to do with anything about her game. And I see like a lot of, again, I should say I see a lot of, but I do see fans, you know, talking about, oh, Christine is ugly. Big Brother alumni as well, I have seen say this sort of thing on Twitter. And I just don't know how it's relevant to the game. It really makes me upset because, you know, I feel like, you know, sometimes you catch Christine. I'm not going to say that she's, you know, a perfect 10 like Devin said about Joey. But I think sometimes you catch her at the right angle. And I think Christine is you know, I'm not going to go into too much about this. But I don't think Christine is very bad looking. not a ringing
right.
endorsement, but I, you know, it's sometimes like you catch her in the right light and you say, okay, I could kind of see what Cody is seeing here.
Right. You're absolutely right. There is no relevance to this game on that topic. Like that does not matter. Well, you know, sometimes I'll tweet something about like she had said somebody was disgusting because of some ridiculous something and someone will reply back. Oh, well, she's just an ugly person. And what they're meaning is like inside she's ugly, but there's really no difference, you know?
Yeah, I just
especially if you're saying that to someone and like tagging them in it and their family in it, that's just really just hateful.
It really bums me out. I don't like seeing any of that. I don't see, you know, how it's relevant at all. Like you don't like how she's playing her game, so we're gonna, you know, attack her looks. And I just really it makes me very sad when I see it. I don't understand why people are deciding to go there, especially people who've played the game before. I don't understand why they need to go there. You know, attack her gameplay and attack how she's wrong in what she's doing in the game. But I just don't think that's necessary. I don't think we need that on any of the shows we talk about to talk about how, you know, somebody is ugly and the ugliest person you've ever seen in your life and stuff like that. It just really makes me very sad.
It makes me sad too, but you know, I mean, it's kind of expected, and I would figure that like considering what's going on in the house that things would be way more brutal than it is. Maybe like social media being the way it is now that we're kind of able to stomp it out. You know, fires might catch quicker, but we might be able to stomp it out a little quicker, you know, just by ridiculing people in public for you know, harassing family, saying hateful things about people. But, you know, at the same time, the people updating this stuff has to go through that too. So, you know, the house guests aren't the only people in the world that have to deal with this.
Yeah. And I don't want to like get on a soapbox or anything, because I make fun of the house guests too. You know, I try in a perfect world, and I am certainly not perfect, but I try to never say anything that if the person who I was talking about saw or heard what I was saying, I would not be super mortified if they saw or heard what I was saying about them. And I definitely, you know, I like to have fun. I like to, you know, make jokes and stuff like that. But, you know, I just, these are still people. You know, they don't deserve to be, you know, talked about in this matter. It's not necessary.
I agree 100%, Rob.
Okay. Well, that's the end of me being on a soapbox for today. Okay. So going back into talking about what comes next, we got a little bit more of the Zach and Frankie flirtmance. And, you know, Zach is telling Frankie how much he loves him. And Frankie's saying, hey, if you want it, come get it. And they're talking about, you know, Frankie says, you know, hey, Zach, if you don't be such a tease. I don't understand why Frankie would ever have anything bad to say about Zach. You know, Zach has just seemingly, and tell me if I'm missing something, has been, other than, you know, last weekend's events, has been a loyal friend to Frankie throughout this entire game. No, Brian?
Exactly. I mean, in the last week's events was because Frankie was doing what Frankie does, stabbing Zach in the back. And, you know, and of course, when Zach calls him out on this, Frankie says, oh, well, it's just a game. You know, I love you. And, you know, we're never going to do that again to each other, blah, blah, blah. So.
Oh, can I go back to one more thing with Cody and Christine? I thought Donnie was kind of weird during that whole segment of the everybody's talking about, like, yeah, what is going on with Cody and Christine? Yeah, that is weird. And again, that I'm not saying that I'm defending the Cody and Christine stuff, because it is pretty bizarre, and I would be super bummed out if that was my wife there, and vice versa if that was me in the house and my wife was watching that. Again, both sides of that equation would be super bummed out. But Donnie, during that, he's like, you know, if I was going to be touching a woman's hair, it would be my wife's hair. Like, yeah, obviously, Donnie. If she's not here. Like, why would he want to touch somebody's hair who's not his wife? I don't get it. Like, I don't know. Donnie is on a different wavelength than everybody else, I guess.
I don't put that beyond production to, like, ask him to say that, actually.
Yeah.
I don't.
Donnie's not the big flirt like Cody, I guess.
Oh, my God. Yeah, let's get this straight. Let's get it straight. Straight off the bat. Christine and Cody. The problem's Cody.
Well, we have seen that Cody is the serial flirter in the house. It is, like, super odd that, you know, he was that way with Amber, right? And I'm sure there's probably a couple other women before that. Brittany, probably early on in the game, right?
Every single girl in the house.
Well, it'll be funny.
DaCosta.
It'll be funny if Christine goes home, if then Cody will adopt Victoria for the person that he has to be just constantly flirting with.
He's already adopted somebody, and it's not Victoria.
Who is it, Frankie?
Yep, slept in the room last night.
Boy.
Cuddling.
Man.
Hair playing, all sorts of mess.
Man, that Cody is just so sexual.
Oh, he's a whore bag.
Yeah, Cody is just non-stop. If you put Cody in solitary confinement, he would die.
Oh, yeah, he would. I mean, he would yank his own hair out.
He needs to flirt to live. If he can't flirt, he will die. Oh, man, that's like a movie. It's like Speed. If he stops flirting 60 times a day, he'll die.
It's like the Highlander, but there may only be one flirt.
Oh, my God. Okay. So we'll watch that as we go along. It'll be funny if it's a Cody-Derek final two, exactly how that'll play out. You know, a week will Cody have to start snuggling with Derek?
No.
Beast Mode Cowboy? I mean, what if it's Cody-Derek Caleb final three?
Actually, I just said something about it. It's all being Cody's fault. But then again, I seen Christine like running her fingers through Derek's hair. So
Derek's hair?
Yeah.
And Derek is married too.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know.
He doesn't shut that down?
It's like going, no, it's blowing my mind.
Okay.
Hey, everybody's behavior is blowing my mind.
All right, it's like a commune in the Big Brother house.
I mean, they just have like a... I should shut up.
All right, so let's get to the nominations. And Derek, he nominates Donnie and Christine, and he's like, you guys battle the block. It's been so hard on all of us this summer. But the good news, you get to go out there, and you get to try to win and take yourself off the block, and that's what you got to do. So go out there and win. And then Frankie's speech talking about, you know, Cody and Caleb and how their abs, yada, yada, yada. You know, just silly. Oh, Frankie, what a mogul. What a comedy mogul.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't even know what to say about Frankie anymore, Rob. I mean, it's just like, he just pisses me off, everything that he does.
Yeah. What about, did you like to get to see Ariana Grande in the HOH room? She's going to open the VMAs, Brian. I know what a big VMAs fan you are.
I have no problem with She Who Must Not Be Named, and I don't want to have any problems with She Who Must Not Be Named. So please, She Who Must Not Be Named's army, don't come after me.
Do not come after Brian. Brian, this is the first time I've ever heard you sound intimidated in the 3 or 4 years we've been talking about Big Brother together.
Well, Frankie has threatened to send the army after everyone.
Everyone?
So, yeah, I'm not... I mean, I don't, like, when people start threatening me, I'm out. You can have fun on your own.
Hey, we love Ariana Grande on
Rob,
this show.
They're telling there's people in the house that if you get naked and someone takes a screen cap of it and puts it online, then you can sue them for putting it online.
You could sue who?
Derek was telling everybody that if I took a screen cap, no, they didn't mention me, right?
They said if Brian Lynch takes a screen grab.
Yeah, of you running around naked or showing your butthole to the camera or whatever.
In fairness, that's not really your thing. You don't. I can't.
I've done it before.
Oh, you have done it?
I did it with Amanda. Like, Amanda was like, look at my tits. And she pulled her shirt across, you know, flashed everybody. But it wasn't a face thing, right? And so I like cropped it out. It was just her boobs.
Okay.
But then again, in 14, Janelle had that nip slip, and I put that up. But I erased it, and I erased all of them because I don't want them to see it after they get out. You know,
well,
it,
Brian,
they're going to anyway.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being fully disclosing all of your screen capping.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to come in here and lie to you. Okay. I mean, I might get something wrong, but I'm not going to lie to you intentionally.
Which will be prosecuted harder? Edwin Lida's claims that he owns the patent for text message voting, or Derek's claims of if somebody takes a screen cap and then puts it online that Derek can sue them?
I know that Derek doesn't even believe that. I mean, I don't know it, but I mean, he can't believe that.
Is he just trying to get people to get naked and then he's laughing like they think they can sue people?
No, see, people are whining about the time they were alone in the bathroom and walked out of the shower all naked, but they don't understand, like, because they've never watched the feeds that, you know, if you're not with somebody, then the feeds aren't going to be on you.
Okay. So you can be solo and naked.
Right. You can, like, I mean, in 14, I mean, you could hear even like production like rolling on the floor laughing at one point because Ashley had walked out of the shower like that. And they all saw her, but the feeds weren't on her because there was nobody in the bathroom with her. It was just something she did because there was no one there.
Will they switch the feeds to somebody if they're naked?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think if they want to run around naked in front of everybody, then they'll switch the feeds to them because that was a decision that they made. It's like the same thing. Would they show someone just taking a dump in the bathroom for no reason? No.
Thankfully. If only Joey would have known that.
Actually, we may get some bathroom shots coming up soon, though.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. All right, so we are going to talk about the competition here. It's the return of the black box in the backyard, the Big Brother black box. Did this competition debut in Big Brother 15 last summer?
I believe it did.
Okay,
I can't remember another black box competition.
All right, so it's a blackout challenge where it's a dark room and you're going to go in there and you have to find five bones. Felt like this competition really went on for a long time.
I mean, I bet it did.
Yeah.
Let's see. I can't even remember how long it seemed like. It was a while.
Now, how come this week, Brian, has there been people outcrying on Twitter that Big Brother rigged this so Donnie would win the competition that Christine was trying to throw?
that Big Brother rigged it. I mean, some people believe that.
Last week, of course, we had everybody saying, oh, we were trying to throw it for to get Frankie out, and they made it something that you could win with one person. Well, this week, Donnie does the unthinkable. He wins a challenge that Christine is trying to throw, but with one person. But I don't recall seeing Twitter in an uproar.
Right. Well, let's look at it. Let's just deal with what they're saying about it in the house. There are people in the house that are saying this, right? That production is rigging it. That production rigged it for Donnie. And those people are Frankie and Derek.
Okay. Why would they say that?
They were trying to get him out, Rob, even though Derek's in the diary room lying about, oh, I don't want Donnie to go. And then later on, like, making a big deal about, like, well, why is it important for Zach to go on? Let me ask you, why is it important for Zach to go on the block and throw the competition if he doesn't want Derek to go, if he doesn't want Donnie to be evicted?
I don't know.
It's because it's stupid. He wanted him to go. and here's another thing. Like, he could play. Okay. Spoilers.
No spoilers yet.
I'm not. I stopped myself.
Okay. So, yeah, it was crazy that Donnie was able to win and Cody and Caleb were not able to get it right. You would think that with two people, I mean, you can't say that this competition was better with one person than two people, right?
Yeah, in what world does human centipede tactics work in this, Rob?
Well, maybe it was better to be one person because you could sort of move around faster than Cody and Caleb, who were going slow because they decided to hold hands.
Horrible.
Okay, so Donnie and Christine are safe this week, and Cody and Caleb go up onto the block, and then Derek gets slimed. Do you like sliming the outgoing HOH?
It's better than the cake launch into Zach's face, that the cake turned over and the bottom foundation of the cake smacked him right in the head.
Yeah, I don't really watch the show. I'm like, Derek, you got slimed. You know, I don't really love the you can't do that on television element to it. It's like a Nickelodeon
flair.
Yes. All right, Brian, are you ready? Should we talk about some spoilers here?
I've been trying to talk about spoilers this whole time, haven't I?
Okay. I know. Okay, let's talk about some spoilers here. Let's get ready. We're going to talk about spoilers. All right, Brian, we are in the spoiler zone. Okay, first, take us through the visit to the house by the Zingbot and a very special guest.
Okay, well, Zingbot visits the house for Vito, obviously, like we're accustomed to him. And Kathy Griffin is in tow, assisting him with Zings.
Okay. Why is Kathy Griffin part of the... Like, why have we brought in celebrities to help make fun of the house guests this season? We had Gilbert Gottfried as the voice of Otev, and now Kathy Griffin with the Zingbot? Is she writing for the Zingbot?
It's my understanding that she was there assisting him in his Zing responsibilities.
Like, is the Zingbot doing stuff that's just recorded and then Kathy Griffin can, like, do stuff on the fly? Is that what this works?
I think so. Actually, we're in spoilers now. I'm going to let this... Okay, so Christine was talking all sorts of trash about her, and she didn't know she was there, but she had heard her. They heard Kathy Griffin, and she was talking trash about Kathy Griffin, and Kathy Griffin was listening and, put her on blast or something.
Hold on, back up. So what happened? Like, Kathy Griffin, like, came on the loudspeaker and was like, hey, house guests, like, you're going to get zinged today. And then Christine was just like, that bitch, Kathy Griffin, she's not funny, she's stupid, and stuff like that.
It seemed more like it was after the thing or something. They had met her, and then she had started talking trash about her or something, and then somehow she had heard it. I don't know.
And then did Kathy...
We'll have to see it. I mean, it'll have to be, like, edited out.
Did Kathy Griffin then come back in the house then?
No, she was still there, and she just started zinging her or something.
All right. Well, that sounds confusing. I think we got to figure out how that all went down. All right, so tell me first about what were some of the zings that we got to hear.
Okay, so, well, obviously Zingbot went after Cody and Christine. I'm not sure exactly what it was, because all I heard was them crying about it, whining about it. And
Cody, too?
Yeah.
Sensitive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, maybe not crying over it, but he's definitely worried that Christine's husband's going to beat the crap out of her.
Or is he worried that Christine doesn't want to flirt with him?
Well, I mean, that's part of it, too, you know, that it caused them to be so far away from each other for a while. But, you know, I mean, that's not something that they're really going to care about in 2 days.
But I had read that they had very quickly gotten over it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. And it happened like the day, you know, when I told you that Zach and Caleb had brought it up, right, beforehand. They stopped snuggling and cuddling then, but then, like, the next day they were back together.
Yeah. It was a love that even a Zingbot couldn't keep apart.
No, the Zings cannot tear them apart.
Sure. All right, so who else got Zing?
Zingbot told Donnie that his beard was like Duck Dynasty, but his social game was like Suck Dynasty. Derek was basically, his Zing was about, like, Zingbot said something about, or maybe it's, okay, let me put it something. I'm not sure that maybe these may have been Kathy Griffin zings.
Okay.
Because they were just talking about all the zings, and so they weren't really attributed. But someone had said, look at how many attractive guys there are in the house. Oh, wait, there's Derek, or something like that, talking about how he's not attractive.
Hey, that's not nice, Zingbot, if we're going to be, we have to be fair. No more talk about the people's looks in that house.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Zings are what they are, right?
Yeah. All right, well, I love the Zingbot. I can't wait for Wednesday night's show. Okay, so then what was the actual competition? Do we know?
Nobody talked about the competition. Okay. You know, I mean, this.
All right, so who won the competition?
Frankie won.
Frankie wins. So Frankie has all the power.
Yep.
All right, so how does this plan come into play of what they're going to do with the veto?
Well, I mean, as soon as the veto competition's over, Derek's minions, well, like Cody and Caleb Caleb's already in Frankie's ear talking about backdooring Zach, and Frankie's already agreeing with it.
Okay.
So that's the plan. They eventually tell Zach straight up that he's going to be nominated and evicted. Can I go back to, like, right after the Battle of the Block and Derek crying?
Why was Derek crying?
Because apparently production cheered when Donnie won Battle of the Block, and it pissed him off.
Yeah, I want to know something, Brian. This past week, and I don't think we've talked about it on the show, or only very briefly, there were people who were outside of the Big Brother house who screamed into the backyard, like, we love you, Zach. Zach is the best. Something like that, correct?
Yeah, they were in a car or something, honked their horn, and then started screaming, yes.
Okay. How much has that weighed into the house guest's decision to want to get rid of Zach at this point in the game? Is that something that they've talked about? Do they resent the fact that in their minds they think that Zach has a lot of popularity, which is actually the case?
Cody and Cody and Christine have specifically expressed those sentiments. No one else really has, but I am pretty sure that Frankie, it's influenced Frankie quite a bit, because Frankie is all about camera being on him getting all the camera time, and he's got to be jealous of Zach.
Yeah, I really do think that is in the mind of a lot of these contestants. And I'm trying to think of who said this the other night on Twitter. It might have been Hamster Watch that was saying, for these contestants, like, they're never really in the moment. They're always just thinking about, what is this going to look like on TV?
Some people are like that all the time. And I would say that Frankie is one of those people. Derek's got to be. Anybody that's lying in the diary room is always thinking about what it's going to look like on TV. And some of these people are the people that, like, said that, you know, they wouldn't care if they were hated by the public as long as they won. Actually, Frankie was the one that said, I don't think it's possible for the public to hate me if I win.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. So, Brian, now going back to that Frankie told Zach that he was going to go up onto the block, this is where the social media really started to get involved, because all of these Zach fans started tweeting about the renom of, there is a law in the Big Brother rule book. And Brian, maybe you could explain a little bit more about this. I've done some research on this morning, but as you understand it, what is the rule?
I'm not very familiar with it. I mean, I've just really learned about it. But apparently the renom rule is, I mean, there's a rule that says you cannot tell someone that they're going on the block as a renomination and that they're going or whatever. I haven't seen the rule book. Someone says it's been read out loud before. But they're not supposed to tell people directly. And I was like, well, this don't matter because they never really follow the rules anyway. They always excuse them. But someone said, well, like in season 12, they enforced the renom rule on Brendan when he told Brittany that she was going on the block and they made him nominate somebody else. However, Brendan has been on Twitter after that saying that his nominations weren't concrete and that didn't happen.
Okay. So Brendan denies that the renom situation happened in Big Brother 12.
Correct.
Because does it make sense? I mean, did production really want to save Brittany? Was she like such a beloved person, or they just didn't want to? Was she the only woman left in the house at that point?
From what I've seen online, it is the common. It is commonly accepted that that is exactly what happened during that season, even though Brendan is denying it.
Okay. Now, since that time, we have never had that rule enforced, and many, many, many times we've had people told, you know, that they're going to go up on the block, including in this very episode we watched tonight when they pulled Skittles out of the hat and said, okay, here's who's going up on the block. It's going to be Christine. You're going up on the block with Donnie. And they told Donnie, you're going up on the block. And they you're going with Christine, who's better than Victoria. And then also Caleb and Cody, you're going up on the block.
I was assuming the renom rule was about renom for backdoor instead of just like straight up nominations. And I think the biggest part of it, I think the reason that the rule is actually there is so that people won't be told at the beginning of the week that they're going to be evicted and that they'll continue to campaign. I think it's more about not telling the person that they're going home.
I think it's more about that, you know, production, they like good TV, like we do, and I think they want people to be surprised at the veto meeting. So I think they want, you know, that moment at the veto meeting where it's like that person is just like seething and like, ugh, how could you? You were my friend and you put me up on the block. So I don't think they want to sort of neuter that moment when somebody's like, okay, yeah, I got it, I know, I'm up on the block. So I think that's why they want to have drama at the veto meeting.
Yeah, I mean, people are legitimately like saying that, yeah, the rule was broken. That's a rule, and the rule was broken. But, you know, they obviously don't enforce those kind of rules. But right before the veto ceremony, Frankie had been in the diary room, and he comes out of the diary room to wake Zach up and to have this conversation with him to give him a little hope that he's staying, as if the diary room had specifically instructed him to go out and do that so that the renom rule would not be something that could be taken as to be in effect.
Would it be the renom rule, or would it be just because they need something in the show, like at, you know, having the Wednesday night show at like 8:50, where Frankie's like, yeah, I don't know, maybe I might not, you know, I could go either way. And then, you know, they show him talking to Zach and like, well, you know, I might do this in a different way.
Well, I mean, if the whole entire public's in an uproar over the fact that Zach was told that he's going to be nominated and going home, and then at the 11th hour, Frankie comes running out of the diary room to wake Zach up, asking him to put his mic on so that they can use it. And he tells him that, what did he say? It basically has a conversation about, like, saying, you know, giving him the impression that he might not go home. And then, like, 10 minutes later, he nominates him.
Brian. So I know you're a big Ariana Grande fan. I'm a big Ariana Grande fan, much like any sane person in the entire world. We're huge fans of the Ariana Grande. So she tweeted recently that she didn't want Frankie to backdoor Zach. She didn't want that to happen. And I'm not sure exactly. I might have this a little bit off. Who tweeted that Ariana Grande was saying, or somebody from Ariana Grande's camp was saying, that Frankie knew the renom rule and he told Zach about this so that he wouldn't have to put Zach up, and that Frankie actually is looking out for Zach and is pro Zach, but oh, that's like the drug. But he is with Zach, and he's using the renom rule to his effect to get out of the pressure from everybody else to nominate Zach. Have you seen this?
Yes, that was something that Frankie's mom had put out
Frankie's
there.
Mom,
and
right?
Yeah, and you got to just look at this. Like, you got to take what a family says with a grain of salt, right? They have like emotions involved. They're obviously wrapped up with what, not only with, you know, what's going on in their family and their private lives at the moment, because it's not an exactly a great time for them, right?
Yeah.
But they have
to
worry about him being away and all the crazy, dirty crap he's doing and how it's affecting his public perception. And they're trying to like rehabilitate it. So you can't blame them. Their family, they're going to do whatever they can to help out their son. And I wouldn't go bothering them about it, actually.
I do feel like it's going to be lame when these guys get out of the house, like Frankie and Derek, and then when they see that Zach was a very popular player, they're going to spin it like they were, you know, I'm trying not to say pro Zach again, but
it's okay. It's okay to do that because like Team Prozac is the thing.
Okay, Team Prozac, which might need to be on Prozac in a couple days. But I feel like that Frankie is going to sort of claim that of like, no, I was trying to protect Zach the whole time. Zanky, it's happening. It's still a thing. And even though they were totally working against Zach for most of this game.
Oh, yeah, he'll definitely do that, but he's a piece of trash.
Who, Frankie?
Yeah.
No. We're pro Ariana Grande, Brian, you just said.
I don't mention she, you must not be named.
Okay, we are. So you draw a line. We're team Ari, is that what we are? What are we called?
I'm team pretend they don't exist because I don't want the army after me.
Yeah, well, we are. Everybody knows we are staunch supporters of the great Ariana Grande. That being said,
Grande supporters.
Grande, yes. The whole team Grande. That being said, like, you know, it is going to stink that, you know, Frankie is going to try and paint this as if we did not see with our own eyes what we had seen all summer.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of character rehabilitation going on after this because, I don't like to just bash their character, right? But, I mean, I kind of have to because what they're doing is bashing character and pretending that they're not, you know? I mean, I don't know where these people get off, right? To go in the diary room, lie to me because they're going to bash character and then come out of the house and tell me not to bash their damn character.
Wow.
It's ridiculous, Rob.
Brian, you're mad as hell.
I am mad as hell because after the season's over, I get to hear shit from these people.
Okay, well, they will be all, I'm sure, on a tour of, you know, being on every single one of these podcasts talking about how, like, no, we got it wrong, Brian. We misinterpreted what was happening.
Yeah, well, here's my message to Zach. If you're ever listening to this, steer clear of Frankie Grande. I mean, here's what I liked about Frankie at the beginning of the season. He wasn't telling everybody who he was. There was like a humble nature to him, right?
Yeah.
It's like, don't look at me as I'm like the greatest person in the world. And it's not like he wasn't getting that anyway in the public's eye. The public, everybody in the world knows who he is, right? But he had to have those people in the house kissing his ass.
Did not like that.
No, I don't.
All right. A couple more things before we get to some questions from people. Okay. Let's talk about the neighborhood watch and how that really blew up once again in Zach's face for Team America.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the Team America thing was to steal all these things, right?
Right.
And of course, they were told, right? Specifically, Derek told Frankie that they're not allowed to blame it on production, that they're not allowed to say it's a saboteur or something like that. But as soon as someone said, oh, you think it could be a saboteur, they started blaming it on Zach, saying Zach was a saboteur. When he gets called to the DR, they say, oh, they're calling to the DR to tell him saboteur stuff. So he's just screwed no matter what.
But does production stop them from that? I mean, what could production do?
Well, no, but they don't stop them for that. You know, I don't even know why they give them rules. They're not going to do anything about it. Remember in Big Brother Canada when Sabrina had that fight with Ika and she ran inside saying that Ika had threatened her physically? I mean, we've had similar things about that being said about Zach in the house. When Big Brother Canada, they made Sabrina go to the entire house and apologize for saying that.
Okay.
That don't happen in BBUS.
So what's production's angle on this? If they're not going to stop that from happening, do they just feel like they have an ace in the hole that somebody's coming back in the game and they feel like, okay, well, if Zach goes home this week, then next week we're going to bring somebody back in the house and then Zach will come back and so we don't have to worry about this?
I think their angle is they don't care about that. They have three people in Team America that they have to make sure stay in a good edit.
So they don't care about Zach so much as somebody on the TV show? Because I feel like if they were to lose Zach, I feel like that would be a serious blow to the TV show. I feel like it would be boring.
I mean, well, they'll come out and tell us that, that, you know, that's what people on social media want. And that the social media as the fans are not the only fans in the world. I mean, they're happy to tell us about this. I mean, we're not important to them, Rob.
Okay. All right. Well, don't let's not pity ourselves.
I'm not trying to pity. I'm just trying to tell people like it is. I mean, I'm going to stop acting like everything's all gravy.
Okay. With the whole Night Watch things, any highlights from how that went down on Sunday night?
Yeah. Well, of course, they're acting like they've succeeded, right? But at one point this morning, Donnie was up by himself. I mean, like, how great is a watch when the Team America people, all it is they have to stay up all night long.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Frame Zach, stay up all night long. Here's five G's.
Brian, let's talk about the nominations actually as they happened this morning. So why did Frankie go to great lengths to have a speech? And what did he say in his speech?
Well, his speech was, I didn't even write it down because he tried to rip Zach off, right? Because his thing was, part of his speech was telling Zach directly that he's trying to steal a page from his book with his nomination speeches. You know, the speeches that Team America wanted him to do so that they can make money?
Mm-hmm.
And he just wrote a poem, you know, telling him that he's a saboteur. No, that he don't know if he's a saboteur, but he sabotaged everybody's games and he's got to go.
Okay. And how did Zach react to all this?
When the feeds came back up, Zach had gone to his bed and he was laying in bed by himself, not saying anything. Eventually, he went outside and Frankie was being cruel to him and eventually went inside and Zach tried to campaign to Caleb for a little bit. He asked him if he could get his vote over Cody, and Caleb says, no, you tried to get me out with that alliance you had. And Zach was like, well, you know, Cody was in that alliance with me trying to get you out. And he said, no, he wasn't. So Caleb's not listening to him. Zach is trying to campaign, but that's pretty much where we were at when we started recording this.
Does Zach have any hope?
Yeah, of course Zach's got hope. He needs three votes, right?
Yeah.
There's no tie. So all he's got to have is three votes. The one he could get, it's looking very bleak, Rob. He could get Donnie's, maybe Caleb's, and then he would have to get Victoria, Derek, or Christine's vote.
Yeah, but Derek's not going to vote out Cody.
No, he won't.
So,
and then Victoria, yeah, he's pretty much screwed, right? Unless he gets Christine's vote.
Yeah.
And you would have to convince Frankie, which, yeah, it's over with. I mean, what's going to happen is Thursday they'll all be standing up on the wall together and everybody in the jury will be spilling all their secrets while everybody's trying to hang on for the endurance comp.
But do you think they're going to, doesn't production want Zach to come back in or they don't care about that?
I don't think they care, Rob.
But why bring somebody, I think they do care.
If he would have made Team America, they would have cared.
I think they do care because it was in the week when Zach was on the block the first time. And when Zach was going to, it looked like Zach was going home. That was the week, you know, that we did not expect the jury to start. That was the week that I got, you know, an email from CBS that like, hey, you know, don't say anything yet, but we're not going to have exit interviews this week. We're going to take everybody into jury. So I think that they were concerned about losing Zach and not having him at least as part of the jury process. And that was also the Thursday that they came back and decided that they were going to, you know, bring somebody back into the house and they were going to let the show go on for another week. So I think that they, from the time that Zach looked like he was going to go out of the house, I think that's when they started thinking about letting somebody come back into the game. It's odd that they would do it in back-to-back seasons. And I feel like because it was when Zach was up against the wall and looked like he was going home the first time, that's when they came up with the idea to bring somebody back in the game. So I think it would be a waste for somebody to come back into the game on this upcoming Thursday night. And I also feel like Julie tells us ahead of time usually when that's going to happen. Like, and then next Thursday, somebody's coming back into the house. And she didn't tell us that last Thursday.
She did. She said that someone would have a chance to come back into the house.
But did she say it in the coming attractions for the week? Like when she talked about like, oh, on Wednesday, the Zingbot will be back. And then next Thursday, join us for Big Brother again. She didn't say next Thursday, somebody will be coming back into the house.
Well, no, she didn't say that directly next Thursday that somebody's going to be coming back into the house. But I believe she said that maybe it was she told Nicole directly that next Thursday one of you will get the opportunity to come back in the house. I mean, that was said. Next Thursday, one of you will get the opportunity.
Okay, we have to check that because I'm not sure about the Thursday. I know she said to Jocasta, she said to Hayden, she said to Nicole that you'll have the you may have the opportunity to play for a chance to come and get into the house. But I feel like she kept saying you may, and didn't put a absolute date on it. Of next 1 week from tonight, you'll have the opportunity to get back in the house.
I'm almost positive she said that at the end of the show, actually.
Okay. I'm sure we will get a million comments from people telling us who is...
What it was, and I see someone like repost exactly what she said later. And it wasn't necessarily directly saying that someone would get the chance to play back in, but it wasn't excluding that. So people were trying to figure out whether it would be a vote or a play-in kind of situation.
Okay, but somebody's definitely coming back.
Yes.
And with any luck, it will be Zach because, you know, everybody's showing their true colors to Zach. And then when he comes back in the house, you know, hopefully, you know, somebody else will be on the bottom by that time. Like then, like next week, you know, if Zach goes out of the house on Thursday, okay, and then next week, if it's not Donnie or Victoria going home, if it's Caleb or Christine is the next person to get the knife in their back from Team America, or if it's even Frankie, you know, if Derek decides I'm going to, you know, I got to get rid of this guy, whoever's on the bottom has the opportunity to come back, plus the person who comes back into the game is what I mean. So let's say they turn on Christine next week and she's the one who's going home. But then I guess she would go home, but other people are going to see what's going on. If they reveal the pecking order is what I'm trying to say, Brian. And then the people on the bottom then would have the opportunity to pull in Donnie or Victoria plus Zach, and maybe they could, you know, change some things around.
Oh, let's talk about pecking order. While Frankie's having these conversations with Derek and Cody about, you know, backdooring Zach, he leaves the room, and they're talking immediately about backdooring him next week.
Who, Cody?
Cody and Derek were talking about backdooring Frankie next week, while Frankie's still making the decision about what to do with Zach, right? And so Frankie comes back in and says he wants to euthanize. Oh, I just thought about this, guys. I want to euthanize Zach with a slow drip. Called him a sleeping baby that he wants to stab in his heart. And all sorts of ridiculous shit.
A sleeping baby that he wants to stab in his heart. Oh,
yes,
my God.
Yes, Rob, he's ridiculously sleazy in his gameplay.
Yeah, I don't know why, you know, Frankie, I feel like, is a bit two-faced because one of the things I don't like is when people, like, act very sweetie pie, like, you know, he's all like, you know, yay, you know, and is, you know, has one face in the diary room, but then we hear him say things like, you know, Zach, your game is dirtier than a sex toy that I will remove from my... rear end, yeah, and says things like that, like, so, you know, he says like very nasty things, but then also is, you know, very, you know, tries to do very like sweetie pie sort of stuff, and I feel like it comes off as very disingenuous when you do those things. It's not like I'm offended by the negative things that he's saying. I'm offended when he's, you know, obviously he has that gear that he goes to, whether stabbing a sleeping baby or, you know, sex device in the getting backdoored, yada, yada, yada. And then, like, coming back and like, yay, like, you know, doing the stuff that, you know, just comes off as wrong in my ear.
Yeah, it's like that scene in Happy Gilmore at the beginning when Happy Gilmore's like at the intercom trying to get his girlfriend to let him back in the house, and he's like cussing at her, but then like trying to apologize to her like right after, and then like saying horrible things about her. But please, baby, please, it's okay, let me come back in.
Like, for instance, like Donnie, who I think is pretty authentic. Like, you know, Donnie is talking about like, you know, I don't want to say anything about that. You know, he's like a super sweet man. You don't hear him say like, I want to take Zach out of this game. Like, I want to stab him like a sleeping baby. Like, he doesn't have that gear. Like,
guess what he's doing?
What?
Other than that? Nothing. Exactly nothing. He knew this whole time that they were going to go after Zach.
Well,
he doesn't tell Zach. He knew exactly what was going on with this Team America thing. He chose money over a possible alliance. He doesn't have anybody in the game. Zach is the person he should be aligning with, and he sacrifices that for money.
But That's a strategy thing, you know. If you want to fault in Donnie that he's not a great strategist, I give him that. But it's not a character thing, you know. If he just feels like, hey, if everybody's going after everybody, I'll just stay quiet and I'll be fine. And, you know, if he thinks, okay, he's just playing the game one week at a time, I can't fault him that if he's not looking at the big picture.
I mean, I do fault him that. I'm not saying it's a personal thing. I mean, Donnie's obviously like the most charismatic, amazing guy in the house. Everybody loves him. No one's debating how awesome he is in or out of the house. Actually, that may not be true in the house. But, I mean, as a strategist, I mean, he has no game. Okay. I mean, he just knows everything, possibly because he's in Team America.
Brian, I want to get to taking some questions from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast from our Facebook page. But first, Brian, we saw the black box on this week's episode of Big Brother, but I want to talk about the nature box. Are you ready, Brian? I want to say something that might surprise you.
Do it.
Okay. You should be snacking more, Brian. I know you're watching these live feeds. You don't have time to get up and, you know, make a nice meal. Don't go and get fast food. You could get healthy snacks delivered right to your door from Nature Box.
Awesome. Yes. What do they have?
Yeah, they got all sorts of delicious snacks. All snacks that are totally natural with zero trans fat and zero high fructose corn syrup. They're low in sugar, non-GMO, and without gluten. And they ship for free. So how about this, Brian? You could get abs like Cody and Caleb. You could have, what did Frankie say? That you could have a succulent rear end? What were the things that he said?
Bubble butt?
Bubble butt, something? Yes. You could.
But if they're gluten-free, they're definitely not going to like affect Caleb's estrogen problems.
Yes, definitely not. Definitely not. And you could have sweet abs like Caleb and Cody, and you could have all sorts of people wanting to snuggle with you when you grab PB&J granola from Nature Box, or baked sweet potato fries, or sweet blueberry almonds. You will most certainly not be a have-not when you're getting a Nature Box, Brian.
Blueberry almonds sound good. Yeah. I've never actually heard those two things combined.
No, they are good. I have the Nature Box has sent me some samples, and they're very good. I like the dark cocoa nom noms. That's my personal favorite.
Oh, nom noms.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good.
They are good. No more hungriness, no more crankiness. And now I'm going to make you very happy, because when you try Nature Box right now, you'll get 50% off your first box. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. You should be snacking, but snacking smarter. Stay full, stay strong, and do what I do. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP and get 50% off your first month's Nature Box. So naturebox.com/RHAP, naturebox.com/RHAP. Brian, let's get into some questions from the listeners talking about everything that happened. I know everybody is very upset this morning after the whole renom gate. So let's go ahead and let's take a question from Terry Rodriguez, who wants to know, do the house guests know that the show finale date has been moved to a week later? Brian, have they told them this yet?
No, and they have been speculating for a while that that the time frame was what it was prior to being extended. However, Derek did say at some point, you know, we may never know. They could have said this was the best season ever and just extended
it. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that has been mentioned. So it is floating around that they could be in there longer.
Now, if that's what's being floated around, is that going to go to their heads that this is the best season ever? And how difficult is that going to be to stomach?
Well, Derek, it's not going to Derek's head. Like, he is saying this kind of stuff so it will go to other people's heads, right? Because he knows he's a villain. He knows that everybody's hating him.
Does he?
Yes. That was the whole point of him crying and bawling and squalling like a little girl after B.O.B.
So was he actually crying or was he fake crying?
Yes. He was actually bawling and squalling, and Victoria had to come up there and console him. And then, he'll probably go into diary room and say that it was a fake thing. Definitely. But what they're not going to show you is his big fit that he pitched about production being in the tank for Donnie because they were cheering for him because he won the B.O.B. and stuff like that. When, you know, honestly, dude,
you're in Team America. Donnie's in Team America. Frankie's in Team America. Production's in tank for you.
All right. Wendy Younger wants to know, has anybody won BB Bingo yet? Anyone close? So, Brian, of course, Big Brother Live Feed Bingo, in its third year, I tried to make it harder because I didn't want somebody to win within like the first 10 days like last year. I wanted it to go on over the course of the summer. But we have a lot of people who have told me they're sitting on four in a row and are waiting for various things to happen. Brian, have you been getting any questions from people to verify spaces on Twitter?
Sometimes, right? People say, well, has this happened or has this happened? And all I can say is, well, I haven't seen it, but I don't know for sure that it has or has not happened. You know, I mean, it is impossible. It is literally impossible to watch all of the feeds. You know this, right?
Yes. So what we will do, as long as you follow the rules on Big Brother Live Feed Bingo, when somebody has it, we will go through and verify using the flashback feature that each of these things happened. So there's a lot of people, or a couple people at least, sitting on four in a row waiting for these things to happen. So hopefully we will have a winner. Hopefully we won't have to figure out what the tiebreaker is. We might have to go by whoever has the most squares at the end of the summer will be the winner.
I think, unfortunately, a lot of those squares were written for people that actually knew the game, and then they put people in there that don't know anything about the game.
Yeah.
Or anybody outside of it, you know? I mean, none of these people are going to mention Rob has a podcast.
Yeah, that has not happened this season.
You know, so, I mean, some of these squares you can just bury.
Sorry. All right, maybe next year. Ian Rice says, has there been any private conversations between anybody that indicate they're aware that Derek is running things and or needs to be targeted? Has that ever come up, Ryan?
Yes. Donnie was trying to suggest this to Zach. Zach, before Vito it was even played, had planted this seed with Frankie. However, it seems like Zach is kind of all over the place. He'll say different things at different times. I think he kind of does feel like Derek is the best player. He's telling him, like, straight up in front of people that no matter what, he's voting for Derek to win the game. Now, the only reason you would do that in this game is to screw someone over, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so he's got to be trying to screw Derek over. Or he's being honest, saying, hey, I want you to win. You never know with Zach.
Okay. Brian, how about this? Tyler Sloan wants to know, I'd really like to know who each individual detonator plus Caleb is targeting once Donnie leaves the house. They don't know someone is coming back into the game. So in their mind, if Zach leaves this week and Donnie is next week, what's next? No one will waste their HOH on Victoria, right? Well, I don't know. I might disagree with that Donnie is next. Would you?
Yeah, Frankie would be next.
Okay, so Frankie, you think Frankie is going to be the next person to go out to the door? Trevor Chong wants to know, what are the odds Frankie is the next one out? 80%? Are you on board with that?
Yo, that is the last plan that came out of Derek's mouth that I heard.
Okay.
So, I mean, right now, if you hear Derek come out with a plan, especially talking with Cody, and that's when he said it, that is the plan.
Is there any chance that Frankie could catch wind of that and then try to lobby for Zach to stay? He doesn't have a vote this week.
It is plain as day that he shouldn't be getting rid of Zach.
Yeah,
in my opinion. But here's the thing. Like, honestly, if you look at it, if he had tried to flip the house and keep Zach, he would have been looking at a 3-3. You know, the house would have been evenly split. And in his mind, he's probably thinking, I don't get the chance to play, so it's actually I'm in the hole here. So if you're looking at the numbers, it makes sense to go ahead and do what the house wants because you don't want to get blood on your hands. But that don't help you down the road, and it don't help Frankie get the jury vote from Zach. And he's already saying he's lost the jury votes that are in there. I mean, Frankie is playing the worst jury management game. And as a matter of fact, if I was Derek, I would be starting to look at him seriously as somebody to take to the finals.
Okay. So Anna Jose says that Derek is the only person left in the house who has not been nominated yet. Are the house guests besides Donnie aware of this, and do they plan on putting him on the block anytime soon? Well, Cody sort of got guilty of that this week where everybody sort of like pressured him. Hey, Cody, you haven't been on the block yet. You haven't been on the block yet. How bad is that for Derek that he hasn't been on the block yet?
It has been discussed, like you were saying. I mean, I don't see people going against him for any reason. I mean, it is shocking to me the level of immature. I don't want to say immature or stupidity. I'm tired of criticizing these people. They just have no game, and Derek is running roughshod over all of them. It's not even fair. It's like watching Michael Jordan play like pickup ball with a bunch of
me
upgraders. You know,
is it that Derek is so good, or is it that the rest of the players in this season are just so average to below average?
I would say B, but I'm not saying that Derek's not good. I'm just saying that there are good players that have played this game in the past that would eat him alive for some of the things he's doing. As a matter of fact, he's very kind of sloppy in a way because he doesn't have to be really good with this group.
You know, in Survivor, we have this sometimes where we have a season like Kim Spradlin, who people say, you know, is a really great winner, but then they say, oh, but she wasn't playing against anybody good. So it's hard to really say. Her detractors would tell you that she played against, you know, a bunch of people that really had no clue what she was doing, while the people who are her supporters, and myself, I would include in that second category, would tell you, she's really great, and she played a perfect game, and she made everybody look worse because she was so good. Is that possible that that's the case?
I mean, yeah, but there's things that I could point at about Derek. You know, letting the Skittle color slip, that was bad. You know, having Caleb be the one to tell him to think about the numbers, that was bad. It was the right decision, too. And it's just like on and on with Derek, just things. He's lying in the diary room. He's trying to confuse us. And, I mean, maybe he is just like the best player ever. But, I mean, doesn't he have like an advantage in this game?
Why? Because everybody else is bad?
No, because he's Team America.
Yeah.
Team America effectively ripped Frankie away from Zach and handed it to Derek on a silver platter.
That's fair. That's fair. It would be a different game. And Donnie would not still be here, right?
No, Donnie wouldn't be there. I don't think Derek would be there. I mean, maybe Derek would know that he couldn't go to Frankie at that point and just say, yeah, this is what Zach's doing and he's lying to you. Because he was in Team America, and see, this is my problem. They told these people basically that they're the most popular players in the game. And now we have to ride that out to the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave Backer wants to know, are the detonators their own worst enemies? Multiple failures to throw challenges, constant scrambling to contain information leaks, etc. Are the detonators their own worst enemy?
Well, I mean, has anybody taken out a detonator other than a detonator? I mean, as a matter of fact, all the detonators are still there at this point. So,
yeah, it's been a good alliance, I have to say.
It is. I mean, they've got themselves in a position every week to survive. Every single week.
Okay. This is from Brian Eric, who says, what do you think are the chances that we'll see Battle of the Block in future editions of Big Brother?
I mean, I don't think we'll see. I mean, I hope not, but it's possible. I mean, I don't look at it like a TA kind of twist because it's not something that outside interference has been brought in. We might not like the twist or what it turns the game into, but at least the players in the house know what the twist is and are able to adjust their games to it.
Okay.
You know, they know the rules. They're able to play the game as it was given to them, and it's not like that with Team America.
Wendy Yunker says, what do you think of Christine's game? I really wanted to like her and was rooting for her at the beginning of the season. I don't understand her flirting strategy. Maybe she gets a stronger commitment from Cody, but I think it would make her seem untrustworthy to the other house guests. Has Christine's flirting benefited her strategically, Brian?
I mean, it's hard to tell if it's benefited her strategically. I'm assuming it has. I mean, gosh, I don't know. I mean, she's just a floater, you know? I mean, it's effective floating.
Yeah. And so just it keeps her in the loop more with Cody?
Yeah, with Cody, with Derek, with anybody that she can flirt with. And it pisses people off, right? And then when people talk about it, then that gives other people the opportunity to pile on them, right?
Yeah.
So if Zach had said, Zach did say, oh, look how y'all are cuddling. Like, oh, Zach said something like, she was sitting in your lap the other day, Cody. And then Cody was like, no, she wasn't. And then everybody starts posting the pictures of her in his lap. Oh, they actually put that on the show.
Yeah.
But they're not going to show him denying it on the show. It's like when they used to show things and then show people like right after lying about it.
Yeah, they've gotten away from that. I'm trying to think. They haven't done that much anymore.
They don't do it ever.
Why not?
They don't do it ever. They don't care about what's truth.
Okay.
They just care about the what's truth is what they put out as their edit.
All right. Mike Curry says, we say that Caleb isn't running the house, but he wanted Amber gone, and she went. Then he wanted Nicole gone, and she went. Now he put the person who's probably going home this week, name out there, and then that person is not in a great spot. What do you think? Is Beast Mode Cowboy the king of the house?
Well, Caleb wanted Nicole gone, Amber gone, because that's what was put into his head. Now, what was the other thing? Caleb wanted
Nicole.
Nicole gone. I mean, it's like a blushing. Caleb does what he's told. You know, I mean, they plant that in his. See, this whole thing about Caleb going and to Frankie and getting Zach backdoored. This was something that Derek had put in Caleb's head. But before we start giving credit to Derek, Frankie was the one that told Caleb to begin with that he was already thinking about it.
Okay.
So if Frankie's already thinking about it, who really influenced Frankie other than Frankie?
All right, that's fair. Yeah, Caleb is just, he is the guy that you can program him. He's like the Terminator. You know, you could sort of like put like a command in his head, and then he's like very, like tries to, you know, take his command and then see it through to all the way.
He's trying to kill John Connor.
He's trying to kill John Connor. That's what he's doing. Beast Mode Terminator.
Yeah, and John Connor is Zach.
Yes,
so Zach,
yeah, no, we got
and he's only got one chance to save the world again, and that's going to be in this whatever to come back thing, which he's probably not going to win.
Yeah, so no, we're going to send John Connor, you know, into the future. In like he's going to be out of the game this week, but then he's going to come back into the future, and then you know the Terminator maybe will be on his side at that point in Terminator 2.
How many gigawatts of electricity is it going to take to bring him back from the future?
No, he just needs to come back naked.
Oh, my God. And then, you know, in the little ground cup thing.
All right. And one last question from Wando. She wants to know, question for the live feed portion of the show. So you, Eric, and Brian predicted that the Zingbot wouldn't go there with Christine and Cody's relationship. I think that might have been with Ian. I don't remember.
I didn't predict that.
Okay. You said you thought the Zingbot would go there?
I think so.
Okay, you're tapped
maybe
into
I
did, the
maybe
Zingbot.
I said I didn't. Maybe I said that he wouldn't.
Obviously, she says it went there on, and last night's show set that up. Do you think it was out of line? Because I don't. I think it's relevant to the Detonators Alliance. But it sounded like with the Steincast, you thought the BB producers shouldn't make the TV audience aware of the Cody Christine flirtmance. Why is that? I guess it must have been with, I trust Wando if she says it was on the Eric Stein show and not the Ian show. So I thought that it, you know, it was something that was kind of hurtful to Christine's husband. I know there's been a lot of talk online about it, and I didn't think that the Zingbot would go there. But if it was during the Eric Stein portion of that show on Wednesday, it was before that had ever been a storyline on the show. And I think Thursday night's episode was the first time they went there at all. And then on Sunday night, then they piled on with that storyline more. So if it was Wednesday night that I said it, I think that part of it was because it had not been an issue on the TV show. It had only been on the live feeds, and I didn't think that the Zingbot would bring up something that hadn't happened on the TV show because I thought it was hurtful to Christine's husband. But, you know, if it's relevant to the show, then I don't have an issue necessarily with them doing it. I feel bad for Christine's husband.
I mean, I feel bad for him too, but I mean, I don't feel bad for him at all.
Oh.
It's not my damn fault that Christine's doing what she's doing in the damn house. Why is it our responsibility to feel bad for these people and their actions? Why don't, you know, when you do something in the house and they put it on the TV, how about you not whine to us like a little biatch?
Wait, is that what you're saying about Christine's husband?
No, he don't whine to me. It's everybody. It is like people like, this is not Christine's husband. Like, Christine's husband whines about people whining to him about Christine's husband.
Brian, have you heard Christine's husband do a cover of the Ariana Grande song Problem? You know that you and I are big Ariana Grande fans. And one of our favorite songs by Ariana Grande, Problem, Christine's husband covered it and put it on YouTube.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
You're not lying to me.
I'm not lying. He did it. Do you want it?
Oh my God.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, here is a little bit of Problem by the great Timothy Brecht. All right, so he's on his way to the VMAs too, Brian.
Can I get a translation for what I just heard?
You got to go and watch it. Look on YouTube. He's up to 2,300 views at the time that we're recording this of the cover of
Ariana
Grande.
Hey, Tim, I'm about to give you another one as soon as this podcast is over, bro.
Yeah, so it's all happening for Tim. You know, that would be the great irony to all this if, because of Ariana Grande, that Christine's husband goes on YouTube, and then he becomes like a recording star, and he becomes a popular YouTuber, and then he gets upset that Christine was flirting with Cody, and then he leaves Christine and goes off and have this big singing career.
Well, maybe Frankie will sue him for taking over his media mogul thing.
Well, that's what Matt Rubio wants to know. Who's the bigger social media mogul, Frankie or Christine's husband?
I mean, Frankie is what he is. You know, he's a guy that does random videos and has a lot of followers because his sister's famous.
Yeah. Well, Timothy, his wife is famous.
Yes, but in like a hated sort of way.
Well, he is up to 124 subscribers on YouTube, and I will be number 125. I will subscribe to Timothy's channel. And I hope he has more cover songs, and maybe he'll be like Weird Al, and maybe he'll make some Big Brother songs.
Yeah, I think we just, as a person, my heart really goes out to like all the family members, even like the She Who Must Not Be Named, because they actually do have family in the house, and they are actually going through a lot of tough stuff. And so like us just making life worse on them is just not helping.
Okay. Brian, in about 11 days from now, I will be live, 10 days from now, live at the Ontario Improv with Brendan and Rachel on a Thursday night to recap next week's live eviction. And who knows, that could be the night that somebody comes back into the house there on August 28th. So that is going to be a jam-packed show. We are going to watch the Big Brother with Brendan and Rachel. And we'll have to talk to Brendan about Renomgate, the original one in Big Brother 12, on that night. So 9 p.m. at the Ontario Improv. Come and watch the show on the West Coast feed with Brendan and Rachel and myself at 9 p.m. And then we'll go right into a Rob as a Podcast episode. And that will be a lot of fun on Thursday night, August 28th. Tickets are just $10. You can get your tickets at robhasawebsite.com/Brenchel2 or click the ad in the sidebar on robhasawebsite.com. How do you like that, Brian?
That's amazing. I love Brenchel.
Good.
When do they have that baby?
They got to win money first. They got to win a show before they have a baby.
That is like a horrible stipulation.
That's good. That's good. I think that they have a contract on that. They've got a must-win a reality show.
Did they just like say that have a baby when they win money so people keep putting them on reality TV?
I think so. We want that baby to happen, so they got to keep putting them out there. So,
they're like brilliant.
It's very smart. Okay, so that is coming up on August 28th. We've got our full Big Brother lineup back this week, Wednesday night at 9:15 p.m., 10:15 p.m. on Thursday, and that's going to be a lot of fun to get back in the thick of things. Don't have a guest booked yet for Wednesday, still working on a couple of things, so we will have that show on Wednesday, and hopefully I'll have some more news. A little behind on everything after being away in Dallas, but I had a very good time at the conference, and I feel like I picked up a lot of stuff that I'm looking forward to getting into the mix here on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, we are going to have coverage of the Last Comic Standing finale this week. We're going to have continuing coverage of The Quest later on this week. And then I'm going to have a very special, Brian, I know you don't follow the international Big Brother, but Big Brother UK ended this past Friday night, and Kurt Clark and Mallory covered that for us on Reality TV Rehap Ups, which is our podcast feed of shows that I cannot cover because of the time constraints, but we have other people covering. That's a separate podcast feed, which you can get on robhasawebsite.com at Reality TV Rehap Ups, RHAPUPS. But Kurt and Mallory are going to start covering Big Brother UK celebrity, or I forgot, Big Brother UK All-Stars, and or Celebrity Big Brother, what do they call it?
I think a Celebrity Big Brother starts after the regular one.
Okay, so I'm going to cover that with Kurt and Mallory. We're going to do that on the Rob Has a Podcast main feed, and we're going to have that for you guys. We're going to record it Tuesday night, and so it should be up on Wednesday morning. So that's going to be some bonus Big Brother coverage. We're going to find out who are going to be the people that are the celebrities on Big Brother UK. And Brian, how ironic would it be if Ariana Grande was going to be on Celebrity Big Brother UK this season?
That would be a bad, bad business move on her part.
Why?
Because she gets to sit on the beach and, like, rake in the cash at this point, Rob. She's got a CD that just came out. Why do you think Frankie's on the show, like, plugging her CD?
Well, there's some rumors that Gary Busey could be in the mix for Celebrity Big Brother UK this Tuesday night.
Yeah, so that is going to be insane.
I think it actually does premiere Monday night, and we'll be covering it on Tuesday night. So we will be on the lookout for that. Those videos are up on YouTube usually for Celebrity BB UK. So look for that on YouTube, and then we'll have the podcast recapping it. And I'm sure it will be a fun show, whether or not you check out the premiere of Celebrity BB UK. All right.
Oh, I love the international versions. It's just not where it is in strategy, but there it's perfect entertainment.
Yeah, it should be very, very fun. Brian, thank you so much for everything. We will be back on Wednesday night with more Big Brother US coverage live. Make sure you don't miss an episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes for the iTunes feed. And we always appreciate it when you leave us your star ratings and feedback in the iTunes store. Thank you guys so much. I'm very happy to be back after a long weekend podcasting with you guys. Brian, great job today. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye. Before you go, don't forget to go to naturebox.com and order great-tasting, healthy snacks at over 50% off. Forget the vending machine and get in shape for summer with healthy, delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Support the podcast and get 50% off your first month. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP.